You're listening to the Wally Show podcast. You can hear the live version every weekday morning through the Way FM app or following along with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money. It's not news. Think of it more as news-ish. It's the Wally Show.
Well, I think most of us would agree there are very little negative effects to being a billionaire.
Yeah.
There is one that we haven't considered and that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos had to face recently.
I'd love to face it. Tell me, whatever it is, I want that problem.
Well, Bezos was invited to and attended a fundraiser over the weekend for a nonprofit organization that provides kids in poverty with diapers and clothing.
Oh,
great cause.
Yeah,
right?
It is, absolutely.
Of course. Well, Bezos thought so too. So when he gave what he did, it was a lot of money. But the attendees thought otherwise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the billionaire, he gave $500,000.
Half a million.
A lot of
money. Yeah, half a million. But to Bezos, I'm sure when people saw that Jeff Bezos was there, they thought, this thing is saved. He's going to drop 5 or 10 mil easy on this. Mm-hmm. And so when he pops in with 500,000, I'm sure they're like, wait, seriously, what?
Yeah, well, it can provide a lot for these needy people. But when it was announced how much Bezos gave, one attendee claimed that there was an audible groan from the audience.
I see it, though. We do this. Like, we look at this and we go, why is that person not giving more? What they don't know is he might have been to 4 other fundraisers that week and totaled out giving, you know, $5 million.
Right. Now, I will say this. At the event, there were multiple people there they were very well
off. Deep pocketed. Okay.
There was one person that gave before Bezos, and that person gave $1 million.
Oh.
So then when
Bezos
steps
is mad.
Up,
yeah.
And he only did, and I say only, that's so much
money. Yeah, I know, that's the point.
It's so much money.
As poor people, we look at this and we're like, you can solve all the problems with money. You've got so much, give it to everybody else.
Yeah.
But you don't, like, that might have been an event he was at, and he's like okay with it, but he might be super passionate about something else. It's so hard to judge people's giving. You know, and you just got to celebrate the fact that anyone is moved to give to anything. As somebody who raises money as part of my job,
right.
I'm humbled when anybody gives a dollar to this place.
Now, you remember at the beginning, you said you would face any challenge that Bezos would as a billionaire. Would you face this
Call
one?
Me cheap all day long. I'm going to go home in my helicopter. Yeah, that would be bad. That would be a bad look. If he helicoptered into the event, gives $500,000 and helicopters out, that's a bad look. So I understand that. But still, a problem I'll take. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And life comes with tragedy. It happens to everybody. There's inevitable loss that will take place in your life. You know, life and death is a part of life. And it's one of those things when people, especially women, go through a miscarriage. I don't think people who haven't been in that place before understand it. I don't think guys fully understand it and understand the connection that early. And it's really easy to say the wrong thing inadvertently or almost diminish the experience is what I'm learning.
Right. And also, I think it's something of a heritage that you think, as a woman, I should be able to bear children.
Right.
And if I can't, then something is wrong with me. You almost take it personal.
Yeah. And see, as a guy, I can't fathom.
Right.
I can't figure that out. And my wife, I understand she's had that conversation. And so, like, okay. And so, again, it's like learning. And so that's kind of why we're talking about this, because you might be in that place where someone in your life has had a miscarriage. And I want to talk about the things that were helpful to you, if that was you, or that were hurtful, you know, so that way we can learn how to navigate this stuff. I'd come across this article, and there was a couple things that I found really interesting. Like, it said, avoid statements that can be misconstrued as dismissive, and phrases that begin with at least.
Mm.
I think they're saying to avoid, like, it's like, at least you can get pregnant, like, or at least they're trying to diminish the severity of the situation. Well, at least you already have another child, you know, kind of thing. And that doesn't change the fact that someone's experiencing loss in this moment. And I've never thought of that.
Right. And I think it's understandable. You want to make your friend or your loved one feel better about the situation. And so maybe you try to diminish it to make it not feel so
right.
big. So there is good behind what you're saying. But the person that is dealing with it, it doesn't come across that
See,
way.
That's it. It's the intentions for 99% of people in these things aren't bad.
No.
But it's the execution, mm-hmm. you know, that gets to be problematic. One of the things they said, because it can be really tough, because sometimes you want to just pretend it didn't happen or just avoid it. And this lady is saying, ask questions and even ask, like, hey, did the baby have a name? You know, because then it humanizes it, personalizes it, it makes it real. It honors the life of this child. And you get to talk about some of maybe even what some of the hopes were, you know, like the one thing I'm learning about grief and death is that we all try to avoid it, and because we don't want to upset people, like Betty was saying. And most of the time people want to talk about it. They want to share the loss. They want to share the hurt, the pain, and some of the good inside of it as well. So that's just a couple little things in this article, but I'd really love your perspective. If you've ever walked through this and people were helping you navigate it, what was helpful and what ended up inadvertently maybe being hurtful? You can help us navigate this now. 855-33-WAY-FM. Love having you on the show with us. And this is kind of the serious stuff that really carries weight and matters. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever walked through this?
Yeah, sure. I've had two.
So did you have anything that helped?
I had friends that were just there. They didn't try to say anything. They would just hug me when I would break down.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Sometimes words get in the way. And so is there anything, though, that was maybe less than helpful?
This is sort of silly, but somebody sent me a peace lily. And those things just don't die.
Oh.
and looking at that thing all the time drove me insane. At that time, you don't want to remember, you just want to go on living, and, you know, you're trying to get rid of baby stuff and things like that, and that was the thing. Every time I saw it, it just broke my heart.
And I'm sure this person thought they were just trying to do something to bring you comfort. And this is the hard part of navigating this. And this is exactly why we're talking about this. Because I wouldn't have thought that, okay, that's a trigger that every time I see this thing in my house, it reminds me of that grief. And so that's really, really good to know. So the advice is you can send flowers, but get the kind that die in a few days.
Yeah. And like what I started doing afterwards and sort of got myself together is when I heard of someone from church or work or somewhere, I would try to make them a meal and just put a card that thanking of you, love you, if you need anything.
There you go. Meet a physical need, because the last thing someone wants to do in this time probably is cook and deal with life stuff. And you can do that, and it's not that reminder. The only reminder is that you are kind to them in a time of need.
Right.
What is the thing that you found helpful and the thing that maybe was hurtful?
For me, what was helpful was just having someone simply acknowledge what happened and just sit with me. And that was my dad. My mom, I don't think, knew how to handle it. So
really?
She was one of those, yeah, she kind of would tell me, well, just don't think about it, honey. Mm. But my dad, on the other hand, kind of saw me that, like, I was having a hard time with that and trying to stay busy. So one day I broke down and he just held me. And he said, I don't understand. I don't know, but I'm here. And he just let me cry it out like one good time.
This is probably the first time in history that a guy got it right, where he didn't try to fix the situation, because that's what we do as men and as dads. And so it was better that he just acknowledged, I don't have the right things to say, I don't have the right words, and I'm just going to sit with you. I love that. So was there anything that wasn't helpful?
Yeah, you know, hearing a lot of people tell me, oh, we'll give it to God. Well, I don't know how to do that in that time. You know, I have never gone through a miscarriage. What do I even pray for? Do I pray for healing? Do I pray for guidance? What exactly? And no one really had those answers. It was a really difficult time, and not a lot of people were wanting to acknowledge it. And, you know, it took a really long time for me to tell myself and for me to, you know, talk about it with my husband and just be like, you know what? We have the right to mourn our child.
And I think a good lesson to learn from your situation, Tanya, is that, you know, for me, I've never experienced it, but I have had friends that have gone through miscarriages, and I always feel like I have to have the right words. So this just goes to show you don't have to have the right words. You just need to show up, and you just need to be there.
So, Ella, was there something that you found helpful or something that you found hurtful as you navigated a miscarriage?
Well, the one thing that does help is just having someone there to, like, listen. If they are to ask questions, like, hey, I would love to know what this feels like, or what would you like me to know? Something like that.
Yeah, I think we're so scared to ask those questions, and it's not that we don't want to be involved. It's that I think we fear that we don't have the answer. And the reality is you don't have the answer in this moment. You have to be okay with that. But just getting someone to be able to talk about it is a great first step.
And just listen afterwards.
One of the other things that I found in this article that was, I think, interesting or helpful, too, is they said that realize that optimism can be seen as toxic. Because I think we want to lift somebody up and we want to be so happy and be that cheerleader. Like, it's okay. Things are going to be better in the future. And in that moment, like, that person's like, man, I'm grieving. I'm hurting right now. You're being overly enthusiastic is really kind of angering me.
Mm-hmm. And it says grieve with the ones who are grieving. Be happy with the ones who are joyful. And understanding this is not a happy time.
So read the room and reflect the environment, you know, instead of trying to necessarily change it, be part of it.
Exactly.
Henry Ford once wisely said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And I love that concept because it really does go to your perspective. If you think you can do something, you can do it. But if you don't believe you can, you're going to fail. And that was the case for this mom who finished her college degree 30 years after she started.
Wow.
There was a time where she was like, yeah, I can't finish it in. I can't fit it in with life. And she took a break, a pause. But then she decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to finish my degree. She did it. And she wants to become a teacher now, you know, even all these years later, which I think is so great. She thought that she could, and she did. That's what's important.
And I think a lot of moms out there don't make themselves a priority. They want to put their kids first, which is great. That's understandable. But what about making 2021 your year where you make yourself a priority and go get that education that you've always wanted at Colorado Christian University, where you can get faith-based learning? I went to CCU myself and got everything I needed straight online, got a degree in healthcare administration and psychology. And I'm so glad now, looking back, that I did it.
And she's a better believer.
Wait, what?
No, I can't say it with a straight face.
Just go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And you can email your back-to-school question for Wally and Betty Rock to answer at wallyccu@gmail.com. Every story needs a hero.
You're a true hero.
And this one definitely checks that box. It's The Wally Show.
This is such a hard story, but a great illustration of how there can be good if you look for it, even in the most tragic of circumstances. There was an 11-year-old girl who was the sole survivor of a plane crash.
Oof.
And they believe that she survived because of her father's big bear hug.
Mm.
Sadly, he lost his life in the crash. And her mom was telling the story, and her strength was unreal. On one hand, she's mourning the death of her husband, and on the other hand, she's celebrating the survival of her daughter. And she said, it's such a tragedy and such a miracle all at the same time.
Wow, because I can imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you're grieving but rejoicing.
Oh, I know. And like, in that moment, how you could have such grace to eloquently put something like that.
Yeah.
Her strength was amazing. So not the only hero in the story was her dad, like her mom, I think, too, because her mom's going to be that one that's walking with her through this from here on out. But the little girl was hurt. She had like 5 broken bones. But what was really interesting is that they were all on one side of her body, and that was the side that wasn't hugged by her dad.
Ugh.
So as he leaned over to cover her, he shielded half of her body, in essence.
Wow.
And so that half was undamaged. And if I'm that wife, you know, it would bring me so much comfort knowing that her husband died doing what fathers are supposed to do, and that's protect their kids. What? What is it? What? Does anybody hear my voice breaking?
But I understand. I mean, it is a big deal. And I think, I mean, any father would do the same for their own child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know we get it wrong a lot as dads with the feelings and stuff like that. We're not always great at that. Mm-hmm. But this is a great illustration of dads being dads. You know, that's what you do. So, and the mom's strength, again, continued as she said, this one's not going to stop them from flying or living their lives. And I think that's an important message to give your kids is that bad things happen, but to let that thing take away your joy or cause you to live in fear afterwards is even worse. And so, yeah, a lot of good in that.
Ooh, that girl's got some great parents.
Absolutely. FM, this is the Wally Show, and there's a new movie coming out Christmas Day called American Underdog, and it's the story of Kurt Warner, professional quarterback for the Rams, and his story is amazing. Now, Gavin, did you know his story before?
No, okay. I didn't. I know that there are a lot of athletes with faith, but I didn't know his faith story, so this is really cool.
And a big underdog story, too. Like, he didn't get drafted and spent 4 years out not playing football, and then kind of works his way back in. And no one saw that coming. Like, he was stocking shelves at a grocery store. And so he determined, that he was going to make this happen. And it did. And it's like God had a plan for his life. And so it was really cool. I recently got to sit down with actually Kurt Warner and the guy playing him in the movie, actor Zachary Levi. Both these guys so cool. So here's the deal. Like, you go to like a hotel to interview them and they got everything set up. But I'm waiting in the hallway and they bring them out first from their rooms. And I see Kurt, and there's this moment where we kind of make eye contact. And I'm like, hey. And like, you don't know what to say. And he's like, hey, how you doing today? I'm like, I'm good. How are you? And so like, okay, good. Connection one. Then Zachary Levi comes down. You're like, okay, actor, what's this going to be like? And he just kind of bounces in and was like, hey, how you guys doing? Like, he was just so like fun and kind. And that was the problem. That's because I felt, okay, I'm connected like right now. This is good. I've had a conversation with him in passing. We both were like, hey, you good? You good? Yeah, it's going to be great. So we get into the room and I sit down and I'm less than a minute into this interview and I already feel comfortable enough that I take a shot at Zachary Levi. All right, so the movie is American Underdog. We have football legend Kurt Warner and acting legend Zachary Levi. Wow. I gave you that.
I'm already a legend?
Yeah.
But I'm so young, guys. All right, I'll take it.
You're not that young. So like right out of the gate. But I felt comfortable with him, and he received it well. Like, we're on a team. And so then just to further my teammates here, I like to stir the pot a little bit, and I knew this would play right into Kurt Warner's hands. And so in this case, like, I was like the quarterback getting the ball to Warner when I asked Zachary, did he do well doing some of his own football stunts? Okay, now you talk about, stunt doubles and things like that. Did you take any shots on the set?
Oh, sure.
Okay, now, yeah. Kurt.
Not enough.
Okay,
not
in your professional opinion, could he survive an NFL tackle from, say, a kicker?
Absolutely not.
Not even
from
a kicker?
I
could survive a tackle from a kicker.
Some of these kickers now are pretty big guys.
Yeah, they're yoked. I know, but they don't know how to tackle properly, okay?
I just love, like, he got so defensive. I could do this. So nice, both of these guys. We'll talk a little bit more about the actual movie and some of the plot, because I think it's pretty inspirational. And things Kurt said about what got him out of the grocery store and how, his pursuit of excellence even there is what set him up for the future. But if you want to see the entire interview, if you miss any of it, just text the word American to 91979. The movie's American Underdog, so text the word American to 91979. We'll send you a link and you can see the entire thing. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and there's a new movie coming out Christmas Day. I go see movies on Christmas Day now. I started this pattern years ago, and I really enjoy it. It's kind of fun. Like, after Christmas, we always do this. And so American Underdog is the film. It is the story of professional quarterback Kurt Warner and him going from missing the NFL draft to forcing his way kind of back in there. And it's his story of faith along the way as well. And so as I was kind of sharing a little bit about this a minute ago, there was something I forgot. Do you guys know what I forgot about this story, about this movie?
What?
I'm in it. I forgot that. Can you believe it?
I mean,
I forgot to say that.
When you say you're in it,
yeah.
I mean, that's a really loose term.
Yeah, I'm there.
You don't see it, your face.
No, because they decided that was a strategic move by the producers this time.
That was a good call.
To not show my face.
Great strategy.
Because I'm a voice actor, more of that. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, you know what? Let's keep you and just use your voice because that will be powerful. Your words are so descriptive. And so your face is not good for camera, I think is what they said.
It's the face for radio.
Yeah,
thing.
And so, no, but I'd like, it's fun, so funny. I had so much fun editing this interview with Kurt Warner and Zachary Levi that I totally forgot that I was in the movie. So anyway, that was kind of fun.
And that just goes to show the impact you had on the
film. I can forget me in a movie, other people will as well. But, you know, Kurt said that this movie took a long time to make because he wanted to wait until it was right. And so I was curious, like, what made it right at this moment?
I think everybody got the football side of it. You know, everybody was, it was easy to grasp, oh, okay, this guy went from here to there. And, you know, from day one, when I won the Super Bowl, you hear people saying, oh, this story's made for, you know, the big screen. And so that was always out there because it is such a rare story from a sports perspective. But there are so many underdog themes in this movie. Mm. It encompasses my entire family and the underdogs of my wife and my son and how together we were able to get to this point, not just one man's journey. It's about timing, it's about getting it right, and I truly believe we've got the right story this time.
And his story of not being drafted into the NFL and stocking shelves at a grocery store to kind of make ends meet is remarkable. But I really wanted to know if there was something he learned from that $5 an hour job that stuck with him through the waiting and carried him to all of his success.
Right, you say a time of waiting, I say a time of preparation. Right. I believe all of that time and all those different moments were things that were preparing me for what was coming next. Because there's no roadmap to go from a grocery store to the Super Bowl. And so you wrestle with that first, but then ultimately I got to the point where it's like, okay, how can this help me to prepare for what I really want at the end of the day? And so we got to take all the product and we got to pull it to the front of the aisle. We got to line up the labels. And I remember when I was working there going, okay, I don't know if when you make your trip to the grocery store at 5 a.m. in the morning, you're ever going to notice what my aisle looks like. Mm-hmm. But I never left the store at night until I said, I'm going to have the best aisle in this store. My aisle is going to be faced better. It's going to be cleaner. It's going to look better than anybody else's aisle in this store. But it was a moment for me to go, it doesn't matter where I'm at, doesn't matter what my circumstances are, there's a way that I want to do everything. There is a way that I want to live, and I want to live with excellence. It was something that I learned in that moment that I took with me everywhere I went from there, whether it's my football career, whether being a husband, being a father, being a Christian, didn't really matter. That mindset was shaped in a grocery store at 2 o'clock in the morning that would ultimately shape who I would become as an individual.
I love that answer. And so if you want to see the entire interview, if you missed any of it, you can check it out. We'll send you a link. Just text the word American, because the movie's American Underdog. So just text American to 91979, and we will send you a link. And again, it stars Zachary Levi, my co-star, which is kind of great. Dennis Quaid, also my co-star in this. He's fantastic. And so if you want to check it out, again, Christmas Day release, and we'll send you that link. Just text American to 91979.
I came here in a time machine that you invented.
Great Scott.
Now I need your help to get back in time.
We are working our way towards Friday. Isn't that the goal of every week? Just get to Friday. Please help me. And so we like to celebrate on Fridays with Flashback Friday, where not only do we get there, but we then go back in time musically, and you get to take us for a little ride. You get to pick songs that you want to hear, and maybe they're songs we don't play on the radio anymore, but you still love them.
Well, I mean, some people might still love them. I don't know. Some of them we've played in the past. I'm like, ugh, get that off.
Oh, I, you know.
What is that?
That's Petra.
To your wrist.
That's Greg X Vault.
It must be just like Judas Kiss.
That is terrible.
You know what? But it can make it on Flashback Friday because,
unfortunately,
you know what? This is why we do it. This is why we let you decide, because Betty Rock, if she had her way, she would censor everything.
Oh, for sure.
And she would not let your favorite songs play. But on
because
the time
I have
machine,
good taste.
Yeah, but on the time machine, you're helpless. You're just a passenger, okay? And so you can pick whatever song you want, but just give us the story, because that's the important thing. Because yes, music sounds dated. Not that song, of course. But music can sound dated sometimes, but the message that's in the music that we play here is timeless, and that's what I love. I love to see how the story connected with you and why it mattered to you. So that's our Flashback Friday. You can join us this Friday, and all you have to do is go to wayfm.com/Wally and then submit your song that you want to hear for Flashback Friday. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and I am surprised at the amount of conversation we've had about Thanksgiving songs. And it started off with like, hey, there's really not a lot of great Thanksgiving songs. And people were like, well, what about Ben Rector? Obviously, Adam Sandler and Matthew West, the Gobble Gobble song.
Also, I love the fact that you put Adam Sandler on the same level as Matthew West and Ben Rector.
Maybe higher. and so somebody sent me a song by Micah Tyler, who we play him, and you know him from this song here.
He got me singing like, amen.
Well, Micah Tyler, I think, noticed the same thing, that there are no great Thanksgiving songs, or very few of them. So he did a parody song to his own song for Thanksgiving. I love that. That's not a party foul at all. That makes the best parody, because who's going to sing your song better than you, okay? And so here's a little bit of Micah Tyler's Amen Thanksgiving song.
When I think about all the reasons that I'm thankful, I'm so glad for the things that I'm about to eat. Every single spoonful I pile on my plate, hoping that the Dixie brand can carry the weight from all this food I'm taking to my seat. Hey, can't wait to stuff this bird inside of me.
I like that.
With mashed potatoes, corn, and mom's green beans. The only thing stopping me from digging in this ear is one magic word that I can't wait to hear. Somebody pray and say, amen. Amen. Amen.
So good. Now, he has inspired us. I think tomorrow we are going to try and do micro parodies. So we'll each take a Christian song and make it into a Thanksgiving song to then add three more great Thanksgiving songs to the rotation here. And so we'll do that tomorrow. But if you want to check this out, it's Micah Tyler's Amen Thanksgiving song. I have a friend who goes, wait, what? All the time when she misses something. Hey, it's Wally. And wait, what? Might be the same reaction you have right now when I tell you that United Faith Mortgage can help you refinance your home and get some much needed cash out to use however and for whatever you would like. And my friend and founder of United Faith Mortgage, Ryan, dropped this little wait, what on me.
Sometimes you can take out some cash and your payments actually go down. It's not every time, but I've seen it quite a bit.
I know it sounds too good to be true, but that was the case for me. Ryan ran the numbers and I can pull a really nice chunk of money out of my house and my monthly mortgage is going down. That's because interest rates are so low and housing values are so high, but it's not going to last forever. So make sure you talk to United Faith Mortgage today. So for a great way to better your family's financial future, call the people I trust. United Faith Mortgage. Start online. Call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
It's today's Music Insider with Gavin.
TMI, my friends.
So we've seen a handful of participants in singing shows like The Voice and American Idol performing Christian songs and really doing a good job of representing their faith and singing these great songs. And that was the case for someone named Jershika Maples when she absolutely belted out for King and Country's God Only Knows on The Voice. So we love for King and Country, and this is a great version of their song.
So that's the original. I always like to see how somebody made it their own, you know, because you can't just totally do it. They always get marked off for doing it the exact same way, you know, even though the vast majority of people have never heard this song, so they wouldn't know.
Yeah, and she's a woman, so she's obviously going to sing it in a different and more unique way.
Or if she sings it in God Only Knows, that'd be a great surprise.
her version of an Australian accent.
All right, so this is Jershika Jones?
Jershika Maples.
Maples, thank you.
But there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
So she didn't mess with it too much. She just added a couple different melody lines. A
couple of vibrato. I don't know if that's called a vibrato or not, but just makes it shake a little.
Yeah, a little vibrato. Oh, she goes low.
I know.
Start over. I believe she sings lower than Joel.
She probably does.
I do love seeing songs like this get out into the mainstream world. It's such a great song, and somebody looks this up, and then it's like, oh, I wonder who that song is, but, oh. All right, Luke can hit that note.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good, though. I love that. But then they go and they investigate the song, and they find this amazing Christian band, and maybe it starts them on a path of faith discovery, too. So that's an awesome thing. And that's going to do it for your TMI. Thank you, Gavin. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and getting old is not fun. Like, when you're a kid, all you want to do is be an adult, and then when you get to be an adult, you're like, I just want to go back to being a kid, man. That'd be amazing. And Betty Rock kind of found a tweet that illustrates this the other day.
Yeah, it was this guy, and he said, I hate how field trips are wasted on the young.
Yes.
Oh. And that is so true, because I remember back in the day, my teacher saying, we're going to go see how a windmill works. Right. And I'm like,
yeah. You didn't care one iota how a windmill worked. You just were happy you weren't in school.
Right. But I just think as grownups, we deserve the field trip. Put me on a bus.
Absolutely.
Get me
out of this office. Let me go anywhere. And I promise I'll appreciate it. I will actually spend time and learn how a windmill works. I love learning stuff.
Right.
Like when I go on vacation, I want to learn. Like I like doing like different excursions or tours where I learn about the place that I'm in or something that they're famous for. I was in Thiers in France and learned about how they make knives. So what are the things from your childhood, though, that you would like to be brought back into adulthood and maybe to the office? I, for one, dodgeball. 100% dodgeball.
No.
Yes.
You would get all your aggression out.
Yes. And then, hey, why does he always want to play dodgeball with Rick from accounting? I don't know.
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Exactly. So that would be my choice of things to bring back from childhood to put into the office as adults, I think would be amazing. So there you go. What is yours? 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Hey, it's the Wally Show. Who's this? I love you, buddy.
Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Sarah, he wasn't directing that at you. I apologize.
I was talking to Betty, like right as we were going into this, we were discussing something, and I just had to make sure she knew that I loved her.
She was like creeped out all of a sudden. She was like, excuse me?
I got the wrong number. I'm hanging up now.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as a kid, you got to do some pretty great things that maybe you didn't appreciate until you become an adult. So what is one of those things from your childhood you're like, man, I wish we could do this at the office?
Nap time.
Yes, and yes. I'm all in because I would love to have nap time. There are days where I know Wally would agree. I'm like a baby. I just need a nap.
Yesterday.
A snack. Yes, I need a snack and a nap.
Yep. Yesterday, it was so funny. I know when Betty Rock is hitting her window. We had an event that night. She had in her head she needed to get home and take a nap in between. And once you set her down that path, that anything that's going to impede that, as we were working longer, she was losing her mind.
Oh, I was so done. I hit a wall. I was done.
You know what? We should just get you a pillow and a blanket and just have a little closet space for you.
I love that idea. You should do the same, Sarah.
I agree. I mean, I have a niece and nephew who complain about naps. And I'm like, if you only knew how great they are. Oh,
you take a nap, you wake up to a juice box. Like, life is good as a kid.
Amen.
Exactly.
So, Shiloh, what is something that you wish you could bring back from your childhood, like things you did at school to implement at work?
The parachute on PE day.
Okay, now, did everybody do that? Gavin and Betty, did you do the parachute thing?
Flick it up and then you run under it.
We did not.
You could afford it. Your school could not afford a parachute. You guys used a sheet, I bet.
Well, it couldn't fit in the trailer.
I loved it because you just sit under there and you got that little bubble and you could see everyone. When I see the picture on Facebook with the PE day, like, it just brings back a lot of magical feelings.
And for me, it's the exact opposite. Like, I love parachute day because the idea was you would fluff the parachute up and then you would take turns running underneath it. And then you tried to get to the other side before it closed in on you.
Yeah.
So you always want to be the kid that's running underneath it. But our school, the way we played it, there was some sort of criteria. Like, we didn't just take turns. It was like, if you pointed at somebody, then they got to run underneath it or whatever. And when you're not the most popular kid in school, you don't get to run underneath the parachute.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I could see how that could be traumatic for some people.
It is. Oh, I thought she was going to say I could see how that would happen. And be
exactly. Thanks, Shiloh. All right, Madonna, you're up. What is that thing from your childhood at school you wish we would do as adults at work?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yes. Like every day you'd stand up, say the Pledge of Allegiance, and we've gotten away from that. I don't even know if schools still do that anymore. We did it every day.
I don't think they do.
And at my school, we did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We did the Christian flag and the Bible. I went to a Christian school. We did it all.
We did it too.
Yeah.
Can you even say it right now?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God.
Uh-oh. This is why we need to do it again. You're right. We missed a couple things.
Every story needs a hero.
You're a true hero.
And this one definitely checks that box. It's The Wally Show.
So there was an awesome move by SEC Nation's Laura Rutledge. She was covering the sports like she always does. But then this little kid missed meeting Tim Tebow, okay? And so she sees this kid crying because it's a big deal to him. He's a tiny little kid, you know, it's a big deal. Like, he wanted to meet his hero, and he missed out on that. And so she goes over to this kid, and she could have been like, I'm so sorry. Tim's a great guy. Sorry you missed him. Hey, can I sign something for you or whatever? And she went one step further, which was so cool. She goes to the kid. She pulls out her phone, and she FaceTimes Tebow.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah, and she FaceTimes. So this kid who just wanted an autograph because he had brought Tim Tebow's kids book with him to get it signed, and so she FaceTimes Tebow, and Tebow obviously picks up, and then Tebow does a message and talks to this kid right then and there. Like, so two heroes in the story. One, the lady, first of all, Laura, for recognizing a need and like making it happen for this kid, and then Tebow for, like, he could have been busy doing whatever, and he took the time as well to invest in this kid. He's even sending him a signed copy of the book.
Do you think
Do
you think that if you had called him during that time, wanted to FaceTime him?
Sure.
Do you think he would have picked up?
Voicemail. Facemail. I have a feeling.
If anything, it would have been wrong number.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now you say that, but Tim Tebow hooked me up, okay? So one time we were talking, and my nephew has special needs, and he goes to Tim Tebow's Night of Shine, loves it. Mm-hmm. And he is a huge Tim Tebow fan. I didn't even know to the extent of his fandom as it was. So he's like 16 years old, and I'm talking to Tim. I said, hey, Tim, will you just do a quick little message for my nephew, Noah?
Hey, what's up, Noah? This is Tim Tebow. I just want to make this message and say, hopefully one day I get to play you in some PS4, and I heard you're awesome at it, and I also heard that you've enjoyed Night of Shine, so hopefully one day I'll get to give you a real big hug at Night of Shine, and we'll be able to celebrate, and maybe I'll even be able to play you on some PS4, but God bless. Know he loves you like crazy, man.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, this gets me, because I had such a great moment with Noah. So I go to Noah's house, and I bring my phone. I'm all excited. I'm like, Noah, I want to show you this, okay? And so I pull it up. Tim Tebow gets up. He literally gets the words out of his mouth. Hey, Noah. Noah loses it. Just starts crying and it's like, can't believe it. And it was so cool. And then I watched him just fold into his dad and like hug his dad. And his dad's like, well, Uncle Wally did this for you. I'm like, no, this is good, man. Like, such a great moment. But Tebow, taking a minute, something that he's probably done 1,000 times and it isn't a big deal to him, but it meant the world to Noah. So I love to see guys like that doing good things for other people. My eyes are still welling up, aren't they? You can see.
Is it hot in here?
It is. It's a little moist in here, a little cryy in here. This is such a great time of year where we get to start thinking about Thanksgiving and spending time with family, and then Christmas right around the corner. And it's never too early to start thinking about ways that you can actually do something to help somebody in need. That's why I love that we've partnered with Food for the Hungry and the Chicken of the Month Club. Now, this is a subscription-based option, kind of like you do like Socks of the Month and things like that. This is where you can send 2 chickens to a family in need for only $28 a month. And you might be thinking, why chickens? I don't even know the first thing to do. If someone gave me a chicken, I'd be like, what do I do with this? But these people in these developing countries, they know how to maximize that resource.
Yeah, and one other good thing about having chickens is that they lay eggs. I mean, I'm pretty sure, not that I know much about chickens, but that they lay eggs every day, I believe.
A lot of eggs, yes. So, don't quote her on that.
That's helpful.
And that's how families can earn extra income, by selling eggs. Plus, the nutrition for families that deal with food insecurity. Don't tell the chickens about that, but it's a great source of protein. And they can also sell the chicks to other families as well. And so there's another income opportunity as a side hustle for them as well.
Another great thing about chickens is that they multiply pretty fast. So when they're selling those baby chicks, the families can get the income that they need that can help them reach their goal even quicker.
And another thing I love about this, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. And if that kind of resonates with you, it's a great thing to do this holiday season. You can help provide 2 chickens every month to a family for just $28 a month. You can check it out at fh.org/Wally Show. That's fh.org/Wally Show, or text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979. We'll send you a link.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
When it was announced that pop sensation Taylor Swift would be re-recording and re-releasing her Red album, Swifties all over the world, including Gavin, went nuts with anticipation.
There was much rejoicing in the land. I can't wait.
The album hit the shelves, and while digital downloads and CD sales went down without a hitch, no problem there. The same could not be said for those who decided to buy the vinyl version. That's because when they placed the vinyl album on their record player and started to play it, young girls thought they were the victims of a mean joke.
Oh, a mean joke, you say?
Yeah, because it sounded like some guy was singing Taylor songs.
Getting back together.
So it turns out it wasn't a guy singing her songs, and it wasn't a joke at all. It was actually user error. So the album that Taylor released, she didn't let people know that it was pressed at 45 RPM, okay? And if you know anything about vinyl records, the typical speed is 33.
Yeah.
But if you don't know that, you need to set your record player to play
switch
at 45. Yeah, but if you don't know that, right, it's going to play like that. So if Swifties listen to their albums pressed at that speed, it would sound normal, but I don't know. It's Taylor's fault for not letting people know.
Because typically the small little records were 45s, and then the big ones were 33. So it's interesting they did a big one at the 45.
I think why they're making that change is because it has better sound quality.
Probably, yeah, I don't know. But I got to tell you, it sounds way better. Never, ever, ever, I would buy this album.
It's very slow.
Yeah. I wonder if we could speed it up but keep the pitch low so that it sounds like this but more in the right timing. And I bet people would like this way better than Taylor Swift.
Maybe, I don't know.
I know I do. I'm going to go do that. That's my project for the next 10 minutes. So thank you, Lady Rock. That's going to do it for your least of these. Getting back together. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And a few minutes ago, Betty Rock was sharing that Taylor Swift has redone her old album, but she pressed it in vinyl and did it at the wrong speed. So people were getting a very weird version of songs like this. I'm not a Swiftie, not a giant Taylor Swift fan.
Wow, you knowing all the lyrics says otherwise.
You didn't let me finish. But
I have a daughter.
Nope, still not going there. I'll just own this. I love this song. Like, this one I really like. And so, you know, like, when young girls or middle-aged women all across America bought the album, the vinyl, this is what they heard. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. Because they pressed it at the wrong speed for the big album, and so people didn't know that they needed to set their record players on the different setting. And so I heard this and thought, okay, this obviously sounds like a guy, but the song is so slow, and I put it into my computer to see if I could speed it up and make it sound more like the Taylor Swift song, but still holding on to the guy part of this, the low part. I'm just curious what it would sound like if a boy band covered a Taylor Swift song, and this is what it would sound like. This is the sensitive boy in the boy band taking the lead here, for sure. A little higher pitch, more tenor than bass or alto or baritone. If I was one of the K-pop bands like BTS or whatever they are, is that right?
It is BTS.
BTS.
Yeah.
If I was BTS, I would cover every Taylor Swift song. As she redoes her whole album, I would just do that album as BTS, and I think they would sell a ton.
Well, when you speed it up, it sounds more like her, but it still could be sped up even more.
Oh, yeah.
It still is. You could tell it's not her.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it isn't.
I got to tell you, I think I like it a little better.
Oh!
I really do, yeah.
Swifties all over the nation, unite.
Do not email
cancel!
Me. No, do
cancel
not text
the
Wally
me. Show!
Her fans are crazy.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
Crazy rabid. You do not want to be on the business end of a Taylor Swift Swiftie hissy fit. That is for sure.
We've never claimed he was the sharpest tool in the shed.
I am the smartest man alive!
Or the most absorbent sponge in the sink. It's the Wally Show with Smarter Than a Jock.
All right, you have a chance to win a prize right now. It's brought to you by Colorado Christian University. Betty Rock is going to put me on the spot. She is a graduate with 2 degrees from there, and she has a lot of knowledge. And honestly, like, I know I give you a hard time about everything, but like she really, I'm watching her use, especially her psychology degree here every day, and it's very impressive, honestly, Rocky.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun too, and yeah. I couldn't have been able to do it without my online degree from Colorado Christian University.
You always surprise me, in a good way.
Okay. I'm just gonna leave it there.
Well, that didn't mean anything bad.
Anyways, so I have some questions for you that anyone should know the answer to, but most of the time we get it wrong.
These are not questions that she had to take as part of her degrees. These are more like general questions that, you know what, they're enough to make you think, do I know this? You know, kind of thing. Because as you get older, there's the amount of things you forget or you think you know, that increases for sure.
Right, exactly.
So I'm ready to go, though. Like, I am well snacked. I just had a Twix bar.
Okay,
maybe
that's
two.
Not good brain food, but we'll take it.
I feel pretty good right now.
Well, your brain doesn't need too much.
Yeah, there's dopamine
not much left.
Kicking in there, and I'm just feeling joy, so I'm pretty happy about this. And so, good luck. You're going to have to get past this steel trap if you want to win a prize, because if you beat me, you win a prize. If not, then we send you on your way. And I don't feel bad at all, because I like to be the smartest person in the room.
So. Which he has yet to feel.
Yes, exactly. One day.
One day,
that feeling is going to be mine.
One day.
All right, 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. If you want to play a little Smarter Than a Jock, good luck to you. I'm throwing down the gauntlet. I got you.
We've never claimed he was the sharpest tool in the shed.
I am the smartest man alive!
Or the most absorbent sponge in the sink. It's the Wally Show with Smarter Than a Jock.
Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. Jency, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I love hearing you so happy right now, because in about 3 minutes, I don't think you're going to feel the same way. We are doing Smarter Than a Jock, brought to you by Colorado Christian University, where you are going to have to beat me today, Jency. You're going to have to get past this mind.
Okay.
Jency, how long has it been since you've been out of school?
I graduated from college 9 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you're closer to college than I am, a lot closer, so you should do well. But again, these are like life things that maybe you've forgotten. So, Betty Rock, what is our first question?
All right, so we're going to do name is your buzzer, correct?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So, this president was the first president to be born in a hospital.
Oh, are there choices?
There are choices if you want them.
Yeah, I need them.
Was it President Ford, President Reagan, or President Carter?
Wally.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Those were not any of the ones that I thought. I thought it was Woodrow Wilson. I am going to go with President Ford. I'm going to go Ford. Am I right?
Okay. Well, Gen Z, would you go with that?
I was going to go with Ford, too.
Well, looks like both of you are wrong.
Oh.
Oh, was President Carter?
Oh, nuts.
Yes.
Okay, no point there. I didn't want to win like that.
Sure. Okay,
if I tell you I need a pound of sugar.
Yes.
How many cups would you need to give me? Would you need to give me 2, 3, or 4?
Wally, I think it's 4. I think it's all evens. I think it's even. I think it's 4.
That is incorrect.
Oh, come on.
But you know what? I'll let Gen Z have a chance at it. So do you think it's 2 or 3?
I'm pretty sure it's 2.
Gen Z, you are right.
Oh, come on. Woo! 2 cups of sugar is a pound?
That's
amazing, because that's about what I put in my fudge. No wonder I'm not losing any weight here. Okay, well, congratulations. That's 1 point. Last question.
All right, here we go. Eleanor Roosevelt was once quoted in saying, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their past, their dreams, or their present."
I do know this one. Wally.
What?
Their past.
That is incorrect.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I was so confident. I even said
I
it very confidently.
That's what's so good about it. Gen Z, what do you think it is? Their dreams or their present?
See, I'm going to go with their dreams.
It's got to be dreams. Has to be dreams. I didn't even really hear
dreams. It has to be.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick it. Gen Z, you are absolutely right. You are smarter than a jock. Oh,
congratulations, Gen Z. You are the big winner today. You have bested me on Smarter Than a Jock, brought to you by Colorado Christian University. And so let's get to the thing you wanted to know about your prize. You are picking up the entire album, the new We Are Messengers album, with that song on it, Come What May. You're winning it right now. We're going to send you a digital download, and you can have it on your phone in a matter of minutes.
All right. Thank you so much.
And now for some good news.
Yeah. Uplifting Way of Him. This is the Wally Show. A little good news giddy up for you. A couple rapid fire good news stories coming at you, designed to make you feel better because the new big regular news is sad and scary. Yeah.
Yeah. You done?
Yeah, I am now. Betty Rock, good news giddy up. Go.
So, a baby born in Alabama on the 4th of July last year is now a world record holder for most premature baby to survive.
Oh, really? Yeah.
His name is Curtis Means, and he was born almost 5 months premature. That means he was just over 21 weeks old when he was born. So, I looked up to see how much did he weigh. He weighed 14.8 ounces, which is the same as a soccer ball.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Yeah. My nieces and nephews, they're triplets. They were born at 25 weeks, and we thought that was amazing. But when I saw the picture of this little kid at 21 weeks, and I mean, he's a formed little human being. His lungs and everything aren't formed yet because there's a lot of stuff still inside that's forming, so they have to put them in incubators and everything. But boy, when you see that, you're like, that's life, man.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Like, how people don't see that, I don't get. Yeah. I don't get at all. There was a random guy near Santa Cruz that was out jogging, and he saw smoke coming from someone's house, so he hit their Ring doorbell, and the lady who lived there answered the phone, but through the app, like she wasn't there at the time. Mm-hmm. That's the advantage of the Ring doorbell. You can answer your phone from anywhere. So they weren't home, but their pets were, so she gave the guy a code to get in, and he ended up rescuing their cat and their rabbit and both dogs.
That's precious.
How great is that? And that's a lot of trust.
Right?
Like, can you imagine? Like, your house is on fire. Give me your code. And, like, I'd be
Are
like,
you
no.
Sure?
I'd be like, I need some proof here, you know?
Right. Like, set yourself on fire, then I'll.
Yes.
I'll for sure know.
Yeah. Okay. Not the proof I would have gone with. But anyway, so the fire department was able to save the house, but the jogger took off before the woman and their family got a chance to thank him. So he went hero status all the way
to the
end.
That's awesome.
So there you go. That's going to do it for your good news. Giddy up.
Well, the podcast is over, but there's still the Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.